Look, I get why LaFleur doesn't want to talk about last year. Right? I get it, but it's a fair question.
Yeah, but not...
Because you were in this exact same situation last year, and that team didn't get it done. And this team did. And Jordan Love produced quite possibly his best stat line of his career in what was quite possibly his biggest game of his career.
But that's why you don't ask him it today. Ask him it on Wednesday. Let him enjoy this.
Not yesterday. Ask him today. Because he'll have a press conference today.
Then ask him today. Let him enjoy the win. He doesn't. Obviously, there's a point of contention with last year as opposed to this year.
What would be that point of contention for last year?
We? Us? No, it's just, and I get it. They just finished a season where they exceeded expectations. They're in the playoffs. No one thought they were going to be in the playoffs. And just let them enjoy. I agree with you. It's a fair question.
Yeah.
But ask it today.
That's fair.
And he's not going to answer it, so no. I don't know.
I also like his attitude being, I don't want to talk about it. But that doesn't mean we can't talk about it.
Sure.
Because it means so much. There's so much to glean from what Brian Gutekunst did. As I said yesterday, he looked Aaron Rodgers in the face, gave him the middle finger, and said, we're going to be better off without you. And that matters. That was a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Gutekunst has as good of an argument as anyone for executive of the year at this point. Draft picks.
Yeah, I know, but I'm exhausted.
What do you mean you're exhausted?
This roller coaster. We were shipping him out of town about 8 weeks ago.
Whoever the Texans general manager is also in that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they had the second overall pick in 10 games
you know what,
year.
Though?
But did they go 4-for-4 in skill players?
Hey, you could say the same for the
Colts.
They
hit their quarterback.
You could say the same for the
so
Colts.
So Goody.
Am I right?
I'm sorry. Josh and I were having our own conversation, and I was not listening to a damn word you said.
I was saying, I mean, there are so many teams that exceeded expectations.
Yeah,
the Colts were one of them. The Browns? Yeah. I mean, who thought the Browns were going to be that good?
Sure. I mean, the Browns are certainly in a conversation to be a playoff team, I think.
Goody's in the conversation. Who else?
Houston.
Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville kind of took a step back, huh?
Yeah, they failed.
The Rams?
Well, he might not have a job.
Oof. I mean, who thought the Rams would be the sixth seed in the playoffs?
Sup.
You suck. I'll give you cred. I'll give you street cred.
I appreciate that.
And then LaFleur.
Yeah, I mean, LaFleur did an amazing job. Again, part of him was taking the training wheels off, even though he probably didn't feel comfortable doing it with Jordan Love in this offense. Even though Jordan Love hadn't done anything to prove, hey, I deserve to have the training wheels taken off. But I don't know if that invigorated Jordan with a confidence, like, oh, hey, my coach thinks I can do it. I don't know. But the stark difference between the first 7 games and the last 10, in particular the last 8, is dumbfounding. Absolutely dumbfounding. Couple of texts here, 800-990-3776. You asked who the rookie of the year. Good one here from Justin saying, dark horse for me is Tucker Kraft for rookie of the year.
Yeah.
The stats might not pop, but he was sink or swim when Musgrave went down, and he was great.
He was doing the damn breaststroke out there.
I think he ends up being the most surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Like even more.
Just from the way it started out with Jason said, this kid is green, green, green.
Yeah.
Yeah. South Dakota State to the NFL.
Yeah.
Virtually no playing time until he had to play.
Yeah. Like they were obviously protecting him best they could. And they just had to throw him out there because Musgrave went down with a lacerated kidney. And he was spectacular.
And I don't know. And to add Wicks to that, like Jaden Reed was the guy in Michigan State.
Yep.
He was very much a guy that you didn't know if it translated, but he was absolutely the guy. Dontavian Wicks in Virginia was damn good until his last season where they changed the coaching staff and things changed. That really wasn't the case for the tight ends. There wasn't really anything to go off of to know what they could be. It was all raw physical skills.
Yes. Who's a better player? Rookie year.
Between the tight ends?
Yeah.
I think Kraft.
You think so? I mean, it's, like I said, these are all good problems to have.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you have competition,
I'll tell you
in
this.
Position groups like that, all it does is make you better.
It's Kraft right now, but it wouldn't take much. Like all, literally, the only thing Musgrave has to do to surpass him,
yeah,
stay up,
learn how to stay on his own two damn feet.
Yeah,
when you catch the ball,
that's harder than you think.
Be athletic enough to stay on your own 2 feet.
Yeah,
I do think there's a difference in like. Kraft is a truer tight end to what it was and what the position was.
He's more balanced. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and he's more dynamic with the ball in his hands. Musgrave is a big wide receiver, and that's good. That's okay. There's plenty of them who've had success in the NFL, but you want him lined up, not really in line. You want him stretching the seam.
Not right now. Not till his blocking comes up and
I said you don't want him in line. Par.
But it's so nice to have because I'll go back to when me and Keith played. Well,
Keith wasn't much of a blocker.
No, it wasn't, but he could block a safety.
Yeah.
Like, all right, what are you going to play against this set? Say two receivers, two tight ends, one back. Are you going to go big and leave your linebackers in the game? Or are you going to go nickel? Because what we did, you're going to go nickel? All right, we'll run the ball. Oh, you're going to go big? Okay, we'll throw the ball.
And that's what makes it so exciting is you can go to – what also happened – to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, whether it was the tail end of the Mike McCarthy era, whether it was kind of the tail end of just the Jordan Rodgers era or the Aaron Rodgers era itself, is they got a little stale. Like Rodgers liked I like having my three wide receivers. I like everybody being static, no motion, all these different things. But Mike McCarthy, sure, that's great for Aaron. Mike McCarthy was at his best when they were going bunch of different formations.
They would literally
go full house backfield on one play with two fullbacks and then go five wide receivers the next play. You didn't know what they were throwing at them. And with the talent they have, whether it's the wide receivers or tight ends, you can go to so many formations and not feel like you're going sacrificing anything or there's going to be any sort of drop off with what they have.
But I think what the season showed us is your head coach and your quarterback and skill have to be on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be like, oh, I don't like motion. I don't want to do it. Oh, I don't like that. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have, and that was, I think, part of the problem why LaFleur was so snippy after is because now it's his, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't hear any chirping. I mean, other players can make suggestions. That's what happened. I'd never go up to Mike and yell, hey, your play cost stupid. What were you thinking? You know?
Yeah.
It's much better to give a suggestion and give him information on what you write. And I think that's what you're seeing now. But you're right. I mean, you're going to be. So many formational.
About who's the starting wide receivers? I mean, I immediately went, oh, they'll have three starting wide receivers.
Yeah. Whoa.
Another thing.
And still not sure.
Hand in the air. I thought Bo Melton would disappear after last week.
I
thought, like, hey, great moment for Bo Melton.
But he looks the part.
He backed it up this week.
I remember Levi and Pulver called in, was it 3 weeks ago, and said, how about this Bo Melton? You're like, he's a guy. He's a practice squad. And then he just keeps showing up.
Yeah.
Good to be wrong about.
All right, well, let's do something.
I mean, he had 100 yards last week. He backed up with six catches for 61 yards this week.
Let's do something here after the break.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's getting frisky.
Okay.
He's looking around.
Teasing
you
things?
Rank That's everyone
on
here.
On a Monday?
You hear and rank your top, say, top four receivers.
Including tight ends?
Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Rank your top five receivers. No, not including tight ends. Just receivers.
Just the receivers.
Going into next year, this is the depth chart. 1 to 5. Very simple.
We will do that. Do want to hit up this text quickly. 800-990-3776. We've been talking about how much fun this season has been. How much fun we had yesterday with the unexpected playoff run. Chris hitting us up saying, this season was as much fun as the first beer on Friday after work, golfing with Homer, meeting Chewy at O'Hare bathroom, and wearing a I'm with stupid t-shirt at my divorce hearing. That... from Chris in O-Town. That's how much fun he is having. We are going to get to your texts. We are going to rank our top five receivers going into next season. Chewy teased it. We're going to deliver. Coming up next, but it's a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Oh, muy maybe, bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Having a good time here today, celebrating a victory Monday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Dan's having a good time, too, because he's saying during the commercials from our show, he flips over to ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Sky is falling. Callers are in shambles. He lives right by the border, so he knows a ton of Bears fans. He's getting pleasure from their pain. It's always a little more icing on the cake.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, Chewy, you teased it. You wanted to do it.
All right, this will be the depth chart, and I'm talking growing out. I don't care where you were drafted.
Yep.
This is just based on potential and based upon how they played this year going into next.
Sure.
I don't care about what your dad says or has to defend you.
Sure.
Okay. If I am the receivers coach,
yep,
going into training camp next year, this is the list I'm handing to LaFleur.
All right, we going 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
All right.
My number five receiver, Romeo Doubs.
Same.
I have him split with Malik Heath.
You can't do that.
Oh!
Yes, I can. Because I think both of those guys provide enough things where you can use them in the right spot, and I would like to see them both see the field in limited capacity.
Now, Doubs does have a little Chris Carter in him, but it's the only thing he has where all he does is catch touchdowns.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
He doesn't catch anything else. He just catches touchdowns.
When you're in the red zone, it's Doubs' time.
Well, and that's where catching a ball in a crowd, because you're always in a crowd,
yes,
comes into handy because those in the red zone, those windows become tighter. Everything's a little bit harder. Like, he almost caught that TD yesterday. Took a pretty good shot.
Did he take a step back, though, or just take a step parallel?
I don't think he took a step forward.
I don't
think
he did
either. Like, when you take a look at like his overall numbers this year, like, they're better than they were a year ago, and he missed some time last year because of some injuries, but I don't think he took that step forward that we all thought he would. But he's still a useful player.
Yes.
And I think Malik Heath can run block like none other.
He needs... did he just say run block?
He did.
Yeah.
Shut up and go to El four.
Lazard
Jeez,
made,
I'm
El
Yo, let's bring Sammy Watkins back.
He's such a good blocker.
Yes.
He's Alan Lazard 2.0.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he could still grow.
At five,
he's
that's
young.
Great.
Yeah, no, that's where you should be.
Yes.
Yeah. Four?
I got Melton.
Melton.
Who knows Bo?
I've got Bo at four.
Yeah.
Are we going to have the exact same?
It kind of seems like it.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like we're all on the same page.
I mean, I don't know who this guy is. I've known him for the past 2 weeks, but he looks the part. Am I right?
Yeah.
He does. I mean, and Nance threw it out yesterday when they ran. I don't know if they wanted to run the end around with him, but they did after, because Reed had a catch and he left the game very briefly before he came back. And they ran the end around play to Bo Melton. And it was a really good run. And Nance is like, oh, got a little Donald Driver in him.
If you were to get a third round pick for either one of those, would you trade him?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
I think.
Without hesitation.
Is he actually the James Jones, Melton, the better James Jones comp than we were giving Romeo Doubs?
You know who Melton reminds me of?
Yeah.
He's a little more shifty.
But you know who he
James
reminds
Jones.
Me of? A little bit? Any guesses?
No.
No.
Donald Driver.
No. We just said that.
We were just talking about that.
Where was I?
I don't know. You're right there.
Tell me.
Wait a minute. You were saying Melton looks like Driver?
Yes, well, because Nance said that yesterday during the game.
Wow, maybe I do need those hearing aids.
Three, Watson.
Randy Watson.
Yep.
I think it's safe to be worried about his injury issues.
Sure.
But his ability to stretch the field is rare.
It's real.
You're right. And it provides an aspect to the offense that everyone wants.
If you're asking me, I mean, would I pay him? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that...
He's got 1 year to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bringing him in and saying, sit down, say, I have you at number three, and the only reason you're at number three, you're not consistent and you don't play.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. We have all the resources here to figure it out.
Well, and it's,
but I can't have you playing 9 games a year.
And it's being able to figure out, and I'm sure this is something that you had to learn as well, like figure out how to play through whatever happens in a game. Because that was still a weird thing about his season. And hopefully Watson's available. Like Jason said last week, oh, it looks like he's going to be. And I told him, when it comes to Watson, once the only time I'm ever going to count on him at this point is after the injury report or the inactive list comes out.
Yeah.
On
I mean, they got to stop coddling. But and he, probably his dad,
but for him
too.
To come off the field the way he did, what game was that where we thought like his knee was bleeped?
Yeah.
Oh, and he played the next week.
Yeah.
It's hard to know because it happened 3 times.
But yeah.
Then he has the one catch. He finally makes the 50-50 catch, but then comes down and is taken out of the game with chest, back, and head injuries.
Yes.
But then plays the next week.
Yeah. What I would simply say to him is, dude, do you know how much money you're leaving on the table?
Yeah, because that
because
kind of
speed- you have the ability to be, really good.
Yeah, I think he's got
really
that
good.
The raw materials and raw skills are there.
Yeah,
but at the very minimum, look at the money MVS got for just being fast and going to Kansas City.
Yeah, but
got $11 million a year.
Yeah,
$10 million a year, whatever that was. Like at the very minimum, that's what you could be leaving.
But
on the table.
Problem is this, right? And it might not be in Green Bay; it might be somewhere else. Is teams are going to be very leery. Let's say next year he goes out and plays 15 games, goes up. Teams are going to have that little suspicion of if we pay this guy, is he going to go back to playing 9 games a year?
The good news for him is he's got back to back years to kind of prove that he can stay healthy. He still has 2 years left. Right? And if he plays 15 games, someone will pay him.
Someone will pay him.
Yeah.
Someone will pay him handsomely.
Yeah. Maybe that team's the Packers. I don't know.
Yes. But 2.
Wicks.
This was no fun.
I 1A and 1B beat him.
See. What do you mean 1A, 1B?
My...
Wicks is not a 1 yet.
I don't think you're giving him the respect he deserves as a route runner and a guy who can find open zones.
Which make a good number 2 can do that.
I think the comparisons to Davante Adams and the way he gets open and the way he is able to find and sit in spots is valuable.
Are you talking Wicks or Reed?
Wicks. I think there's going to be, much like San Francisco has, sometimes you have a Brandon Ayuk game, sometimes you have a Deebo Samuel game. And I think the Packers are going to try and mirror that where... Depending on the matchups and who you think is playing the best or is the healthiest, they're going to switch between them two. One game, Dontavian Wicks is going to have 10.
Matchup dependent.
Yeah.
And then you got, and he could do the same thing with Musgrave and and Kraft, where they kind of play a combination of those two together equal George Kittle.
I don't know. I just think Reed's. He can do more things.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can do more things.
Agreed. Same thing with Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel can do more things.
And you're going to manufacture retouches where you're not going to with Wicks.
Correct.
Wicks is get open. That's his job.
Yeah, Reed's the better player. Like, Deebo Samuel's the better player than Ayuk in San Francisco to kind of build off of Josh's comparison, but you still...
And they're both damn good.
Yeah, they're both still really good.
No, I know.
And, you know, depending upon it's matchup dependent or who has the hot hand, what have you.
But are there too many of them?
You tell
because
me.
Who was your 5A, 5B?
Dobbs and Heath.
I mean, once again, good problem to have, but you almost have too many receivers.
I think between the two of them, you want 2 or 3 targets going there a game.
Right? I mean, you don't want to wind up cutting a guy who's got a lot of value.
I don't think they will.
Not a lot of value, but value.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
No.
I don't think they will cut a guy that has value.
I think all 6 of those guys have roster spots.
And... being competitive, again, having competition there is not a bad thing.
Never is.
How incredible is it that we've gone from Sammy bleeping Watkins to this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a quarterback helps.
Well, quarterback helps, but also like having talent there also helps. Best place to shop diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee, of course, it's only at the Jewelry Center. They have a team of specialists that can help you bring her dream ring to life. They certainly helped me. I kind of had an idea, but definitely helped when I went in, worked with the team at the Jewelry Center, and got my wife her engagement ring. Look, maybe you're somebody who doesn't have an idea. If you go to her Pinterest page, bring in some of those ideas. the team at the Jewelry Center, they're that good. They can take care of the rest. Maybe you're not looking for that diamond ring. Maybe you're looking to gift some stud earrings. Of course, Jewelry Center options, not just in terms of the 2-3-4 carat total weight diamonds, but they also have lab-grown and naturally mined. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection. ShopTJC.com or stop in at any of the three locations in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. If you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chewy sent you. We talk with Rob Domofsky here on a Victory Monday coming up next. Covering the game yesterday. We welcome in, as we do after each and every Packers game, to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, our friend from ESPN.com, Rob Domofsky. Good morning, Rob.
Gabe, how are you?
I am great, buddy. Absolutely fantastic. Riding high after the Packers beat the Bears for the 10th straight time and now are in the playoffs for the first time in a couple of seasons. What was the overall mood in the locker room and at the podium yesterday?
The first thing that I noticed, Gabe, was when I turned the corner to walk into the Packers locker room, there was a distinct smell of cigar smoke. And there was a haze of cigar smoke. I've been in a lot of locker rooms over a lot of times. I don't think I've ever smelled that. I don't think I've ever smelled cigars in the locker room. And I just think it's kind of it's emblematic a little bit of the, you know, the youthful lightness of this team. And I don't think they think that they've accomplished anything, you know, yet. I just think they're celebrating one accomplishment. I don't think they, you know, thought they were done by any means. This is the vibe of this team. It's light, it's young, it's fun, and, you know, who knows where it can go.
Rob, LaFleur was pretty adamant last night about not talking about last year's team. All right, Rodgers, we did it without you. Is that why he wanted to kind of savor the moment and really not talk about it?
I don't think so. I think, Mark, it was more just that we've asked him so many times about the scenario that they were in last year as compared to this year, right? And they failed in that situation last year. And I think he was tired of that comparison. You know, the one thing about this is a different team, different year, that part of it could be we're done with Rodgers and the team is different because we're young and we don't have, you know, sort of the, you know, that older figurehead hanging over this team that everybody has to walk on eggshells. I think that part of it is why he says we're a different team. But the I'm done talking about last year, I think, was specific to all the questions he got this past week about, hey, it's week 18. You have to win at home against a division team again. Last year, you didn't.
Talking with Rob Domofsky joins us each and every Monday or sometimes Tuesday as the last couple of weeks after Packer games here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. When Matt LaFleur, and I love this quote, when he said that, you know, Jordan Love is, you know, he's made of the right bleep. What did you anticipate? What was your reaction when you heard him say that, other than the apology, which, I mean, he doesn't have to apologize for that because we say that at least once a week on this show.
Yeah, now, do you have to hit the dump button for that?
Sure
do, Rob.
I think he's really excited for his young quarterback. I think that I think even Matt LaFleur will tell you, if he was being honest, he didn't know what to expect from him going into this season. I think he thought that this was going to be sort of a exploratory year and figure out what they had in him. And I think when they were sitting at 2-5, at 3-6, maybe even at 6-8, he still might have wondered exactly what Jordan Love was made of. I think that question is answered now. And I think he's, you know, went from concerned about the quarterback position going into the year to basically feeling that it's solved and that they're going to be good for a long, long time. And as a head coach, you know, what more could you want than knowing that you have the quarterback position figured out?
Rob, does Mike McCarthy get fired if they lose this game?
Yes. Yes.
He does.
Yes. Yes.
He didn't even wait for you to finish the question.
And look, I think Mike's done a heck of a job down there this year. You know, probably should have been calling the plays from the start, like, you know, based on what we saw from Dak and the offense this year. But the Cowboys are at the point, Chewy, that, I mean, Jerry Jones wants, you know, he wants to get to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, they win a playoff game and they lose a playoff game the last couple of years, right? I think they've lost in the divisional round the last few years with Mike. You can't go backwards. Like, you have to at least get to where you have gotten before. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they're playing the Green Bay Packers. Like, that part of it, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter who – if they're the 2 seed and they lose the 7 seed, yeah, I think that's probably it. The fact that it is the Packers probably just, you know, makes Mike's just a little – pucker factors maybe just a little bit more.
What's the most impressive thing about the turnaround, Rob? Because we were sitting here back at the end of October after they did not win a single game in that month, and the Packers are 2-5, wondering if they're going to be playing for a draft, because that's how bad it looked. Like, October not winning a game, but like as bad as it looked, and then they go 7-3 in their last 10. What was the biggest thing that impressed you the most in the turnaround?
Well, just the fact that really, Gabe, they really didn't change personnel at all, and they did this with the guys that they had, and most of those on offense being rookies. I mean, 2,200 yards plus by rookies receiving yards. That's the third most in NFL history. Over 3,600 receiving yards by first and second year players. That's the second most in NFL history. 31 receiving touchdowns by first and second year players. The second most in NFL history. You know, I've made the joke a couple times this year that they don't have a catch by a receiver that is in his third or more NFL seasons. That's because they don't have one, right? Like, I mean, it's all been done by the guys that they brought in. It's homegrown. You know, it's not they didn't go add, you know, a veteran at the trade deadline and all of a sudden turn this thing around. They stuck with the guys that they had from the beginning, young guys that, you know, look, probably weren't ready to play in September and October, but they had to live with them. And, you know, there's always this thing in football where if you have a young team, but you feel like you have to win now, and so you go add – I mean, you take Sammy Watkins as an example last year. They go and add Sammy Watkins, and while they thought it might have helped them at the time, and it didn't, what it really probably did was slow the development of someone else. And the fact that you have the, you know, the kahunas to live with those mistakes early on and let those guys grow probably benefited you in the long run if you're willing to do it. And the Packers were willing to do it, or maybe they felt like, you know, maybe Goody felt like there was just nobody else and this was going to be it, and it was, they just had to. But the fact that they did it, to me, Gabe, is probably the most impressive thing, that they just did it with this group of guys that really had no NFL experience coming in.
Rob, what direction do you think the Bears go in from here? And I really don't care, other than the fact of how it affects the Packers. But do they fire Eberflus? Do they fire Getsy? And do they keep Fields?
I think they have to move on from Fields. I mean, it sounds to me like there might be some stability in the coaching front office side from a couple of Bears people that I talked to before the game yesterday. I don't know if yesterday's game changes that. But, you know, look, you have the number one pick, right? Mm-hmm. You've invested this much time in Fields, and he's okay. But if you have the number one pick and you're still not sure about your quarterback, you have to do it. You have to try it with somebody else. And this is, you know, this is looks like a pretty good year for quarterbacks. I think Packers fans should want them probably to stay with Justin Fields and do something else with that pick. But if it were me and I were running that team, I would have said, you know, Fields is okay, but he's just not good enough. And we've got, how, you know, you hope to never have the number one pick again. How often are you going to have it? You have to try something different.
We just ranked, Rob, me, Josh, Chewy. Turns out we basically had the same five. But give me your top five Packers, just wide receivers, not tight ends, nobody else, just the wide receivers. What do you think the depth chart looks like 1 through 5?
Right now?
Yeah, yes.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Jaden Reed is a clear one.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Romeo Doubs too.
Whoa.
I still think he's reliable, makes tough catches. I'm gonna go Wicks 3, Watson 4, and I guess that leaves
Melton.
Who does that leave? I guess that leaves Melton or Heath. Yeah. I'll go Melton.
How does that change in 2024 for you, if it does at all?
I would Wicks might jump to 1.
Really?
He might jump that high. Look, Jaden Reed's – how many number ones are slot guys, right? Like, that's just a product of the position, not necessarily just from a volume standpoint, he may not get as many. He's clearly the most explosive right now, the most dynamic. But just from a target standpoint, how many teams have their slot receiver be their number one target guy? Maybe there are. Maybe it's more than I think. But from the Packers standpoint, it hasn't usually been that way.
Where are they at with Watson, Rob? I mean, because I would sit him down and say, dude, do you understand how much money you're losing by only playing 7-8 games?
Right.
Where are with him?
He said that he spent tens of thousands of dollars on trying to, figure out the hamstring issue, and he might need to spend more than that or spend it on different things, talking to different people. But they, for his future, he has to play. Next year, he's probably has to play 14 games minimum. And the same thing with, with his next year, which would be, the contract year. He can't play 8 or 9 games or play, 16 total games over the next 2 seasons and expect to get paid. And really, the Packers can't keep him beyond this contract if he can't stay on the field longer.
Rob, always appreciate it, bud. Look forward to talking to you again next Monday after the Packers take on the Cowboys.
We get to do it at least one more time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for more, but I'm not.
Holding your breath a little bit?
Yeah, I guess. The Cowboys are so good at home, Rob. Thanks, bud.
All right, we'll be seeing you. Have a great week.
Rob Domofsky joins us each and every
day. I really wanted to ask him. But Joshy.
What'd you want to ask him?
What do you think I wanted to ask him?
No, don't say it.
Is he coming back?
He told you not to say it. Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Greg Scalzo going to be joining us next. We'll talk a little Packers with him, but he also has a fun announcement. We'll do that next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting.
Poor lady.
The Broncos Burma? The last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, what do we do now? Last time Greg Scalzo was here in studio in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios with us.
Should I be nervous?
I mean, I thought you might be, because last time you interacted with Greg Scalzo, you were nervous. Scalzo, market manager here for Milwaukee and GKB, former host of Scalzo and Brust, he's all of our boss. Like, he's the man in charge.
Well, you guys don't default to negative when a situation arises?
I usually don't, no.
You stay positive?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if mean, I don't think we've ever had a conversation where you've had to feel nervous or like something negative was coming, have we?
It's, put it this way, when I got the tap on the shoulder in a team meeting room and Holmgren wants to see me, I didn't go, oh, it's got to be something great I did last night. Yeah, that just doesn't happen.
So you're hanging out. We'll get to some Packer stuff in a little bit.
But, yes.
Typical Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we're not exactly on time right now. So I want to make sure. So what do we have going on here? This seems pretty exciting the reason you're actually here today to announce something.
Yeah, today we're really excited to be announcing the the formation of Bucks Plus. It's going to be it's going to be the first of its kind audio platform that's going to be direct to consumer, a partnership between us here at Good Karma Brands and the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks, obviously very innovative when it comes to professional sports teams. The industry, especially the professional sports industry, is going more towards direct to consumer offerings. And the Bucks are now at the forefront of this. We've spent pretty much the last year sort of working on what the infrastructure of this platform will be. And we're excited to announce that it's going to be coming out here in the spring of 2024. It's an audio platform for Bucks fans where you're going to be able to get short form content like 6-minute game recaps called Bucks and Six, which Greg Matzik's already doing right now. So they've got a West Coast trip coming up end of the month. If you fall asleep in the first quarter, you can wake up the next day, catch all the action in 6 minutes. We're working on long form episodic podcasts to be able to tell some of those meaningful stories in and around those Bucks, the Bucks organization, focused on the players, focused on what's happened here over the last 50 years of Bucks basketball, right? And so more to come as far as what other podcasts are going to be launched. We're going to have one called The Here District with some of the biggest guests in the NBA nationally, really focusing in week to week on what's going on with this Bucks team, and take advantage of the unique access that we get in partnering with the Milwaukee Bucks and the stories that that we're able to collaborate on and tell together. So excited to make the announcement today. We'll be hiring an editor-in-chief to sort of lead the charge as far as what the vision is, what the content is of the platform, and then looking forward to launching that this spring.
So in terms of the launch dates, how people can consume this, just kind of stay tuned to Good Karma Brand stations, whether it's ESPN Milwaukee, WTMJ, for specifics on that, and if somebody's interested in the editor-in-chief job as well.
Yeah, so for, first off, launch date still up in the air, right? When you're telling these stories, you don't know exactly where it's going to take you or how long it's going to take to do it right. We want to make sure that we do it right. But certainly here in the spring, so over the next few months, we'll be launching it. When it comes to the platforms, it's going to be available wherever people can access podcasts, but it's also going to be really heavily promoted on Bucks.com, the Bucks app, Wisconsin On Demand, all of our GKB platforms. And then again, if you're, as I am, sort of an Apple Podcast listener, you're going to be able to get it right there and subscribe to that platform, or subscribe to the platform, wherever you listen to your podcast. So yes, stay tuned. We're going to be promoting this as we get closer and closer to launch. You're going to be hearing it from us across all of our channels. You're going to be hearing it as well from the Bucks as we get closer and closer to that point.
That's perfect for me. It's like Cliff Notes. 6 minutes, and you get a full wrap of the game.
Full wrap of the game. Always on 6 minutes. You're going to be able to hear the highlights, sort of the overall arc of the game. And then, the long-form episodic stuff is going to be like 30 for 30 podcasts. You know, you saw the Last Dance on TV. Well, if you're a huge podcast listener, as we know, more and more people are really getting into audio consumption. You're going to be able to listen to some really, really cool stories that we're looking forward to tell.
Are you going to be able to handle this on your own, big guy, or is somebody going to be accused of app arrogance when you can't figure out how to download that first Bucks?
You guys point me in the right direction. I've actually talked to the wife, and I think I should take a computer class of some sort online just to teach me the basics.
That sounds like a series here on Jay and Gabe and Chewy.
I mean, after the 64-year-old last week said, I know how to set up email, kind of felt stupid. So
it's kind of a wake-up call for
baby
you.
Baby steps, yeah.
A little wake-up
call. No, but that sounds perfect for me.
Yeah, it's
6 minutes. Ooh, let's talk Bucks.
Chewy can handle 6 minutes of Bucks talk before he pivots back to football. Speaking of which, Greg, most impressive thing that caught your eye of the Packers turnaround going from 2-5 to now being in the playoffs?
Matt LaFleur. I think that anybody who questioned sort of the toughness that he had, the ability for him to pull that team together, Chew, you know what it's like better than anybody when the ball's rolling one way downhill and the losing can be contagious and the stench of losing. For him to be able to turn that around with this young team, I think a huge credit to him. Obviously, Jordan Love, right? I think a lot of people expect him to be good. You didn't know how good he was going to be. What he's done is really impressive. I'm not putting the Hall of Fame tag on him quite yet like Joshie DiMaggio is, but I think he's going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. But to me, it's all about Matt LaFleur. And Josh, we got to give a little credit to Aaron Rodgers, right, for helping to groom Jordan Love to the quarterback that he's become.
The only person who deserves credit is Markin New Berlin, the original guy on the Jordan Love train.
Have we heard from him?
He did call in to gloat last week.
Good. I'm glad.
How long did he have to wait?
3 years.
Greg, we appreciate it. Excited for Bucks Plus.
Thanks, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Wildy and Tausch react to the Packers' win. They're in the playoffs. Wildy and Tausch next.